Okay, we're continuing now in the Gemara on the new Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amid Aleph 36a. We're going to start about 8 lines from the bottom. The Gemara listed a number of items in the Avoda, in the Beis HaMikdash, that women are excluded from. And then there's a few where they're still included. And we're going to go through them. This is not a difficult Gemara at all. And it's just basically a number of sources. We just want all the sources for each and every halacha over here. Let's make it nice size here. Okay, here we go. We started with smicha. We said that the idea of leaning your hands on the sacrifice before it's slaughtered is performed by men and not by women. How do we know this? A lot of them, it's the same drasha over and over. Tichsiv, it says in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, when it talks about korbanos, it starts off by saying, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people. And then it talks about the laws of bringing korbanos. And then in Pasuk Dalet it says, V'samach, and the person shall lean his hand on the animal. That's 2 verse later. So this is talking about b'nei Yisrael, but here it means sons and not daughters. Okay? So that's the basic understanding over there. Then it says, V'samach, and you will do semicha, and they are excluded. And that's what he's saying. B'nei Yisrael somchim, the sons of Israel do smicha, v'ein b'nos Yisrael somchos, and the daughters of Israel do not do smicha. Again, we should just take a look quickly at the pasuk. There it is. Vayidaber Hashem Elohim Elohim, Daber of B'nei Yisrael, speak to the sons of Israel. If a person brings a korban, etc., etc., pasuk gimel im ola korbano, he brings an ola, he brings it to the pesach el pesach al moed, he brings it, and now look at pasuk dalet, v'samach yada al rosh ola, and he leans his hands on the ola. So this is all being said to the bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, as opposed to the daughters of Israel. And we're going to see that this pasuk is going to exclude a lot of things. There's a lot of steps in the avoda that are included in these psukim over here that all started with pasuk beis, daber el b'nei Yisrael. That's in pasuk beis, pasuk dalet, v'samach yadu, you do smicha, so women are excluded from that.
What would our English translation say?
Well,
this is the people of Israel.
That's the way they translate it. Because that's the simple meaning. But the way the Torah Misinai is telling you to read it is the men of Israel. And that's the next thing they're excluded from. Tenufos, waving the Korban Mincha offering that was there. It's men and not women. What's the source for that? Well, it's a different one. It's in Vayikra. Again, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, and then the Torah talks about waving the animal. All right, so let's take a look at that one. Vayikra Zion Chavtes. Here it is. Pasuk Chavtes. Daber el b'nei Yisrael le'mor, speak to the children of Israel. Hamakri v'zevach shlamav, a person offers a sacrifice, a peace offering to Hashem. He brings it, and then look at Lamed. Yodav tivieno, his own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by the fire. Es hachelev, the fat with the breast, it shall be brought, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. So he waves part of the animal before Hashem, and therefore, we said B'nai Yisrael, and not the sons of Israel, and not the daughters of Israel. Again, B'nai Yisrael, Menifin, the sons of Israel, wave it. V'ein B'nos Yisrael, Menifas, and the daughters of Israel, do not wave it. The next part is Hagoshos, bringing the Mincha offering close to the altar before offering them, is brought only by a male Kohen, bringing the Mincha offering. So it's a male Kohen and not a female Kohen. The Ichsiv, as the Pasuk says, V'zos Toras HaMincha HaKorev Osa B'nei Aharon. This is the law of the Mincha offering, that the sons of Aaron bring near to the Mizbeach. Again, B'nei Aharon, the sons of Aaron, V'lo B'nos Aharon, not the daughters of Aaron. Kemitzos. The Kemitza is what you do, the Mincha offering, you put your three fingers in the dough, and then the komates, you move your finger to remove any excess from there and from there, and you only take this fistful. That's the komates. So that's done by a male kohen and not a female kohen. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, Vehevia el b'nei Aaron, you will bring the mincha to the sons of Aaron, v'komats, and he will take a kemitza, he will take a fistful. Again, b'nei Aaron, take a fistful. Velo benos Aaron, not the daughters of Aaron. Haktaros, burning the offerings, can done only by male kohanim. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, v'hikdiru also b'nei Aharon, and the sons of Aaron will burn the korban. B'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron, the sons of Aaron and not the daughters of Aaron. Hamalikos, slaughtering a bird by using the fingernail to rip open its neck from the back. Dichsiv. Now, here we're going to at least use a little lumdis, because we just said v'hikdir. We just said that they burn it. But look what it says in this pasuk over here. It says in Sefer Dvar, in Vayikra, wrong thing. It says, Umalak, he shall perform the balika ceremony. And then the next pasuk says, Vehikdir, and he will burn the animal. So we already know that the burning of the animal is only done by the male. So since the juxtaposition of those two, it means just like the male does the burning, so too does the male do the malika, does the severing up of the neck. There it's in Pasuk Tesvav. We're talking about a bird offering, Yudalad. And if the burnt offering is from a bird, it says in Pasuk Tesvav, he grieva koin al misbeach, the koin brings the misbeach, umolak es rosho, he will rip off his head, v'hik dir ha-mizbech, and will burn ha-mizbech. We already know, burning is only with male kohanim. So you've got the two avodas right next to each other, malika and burning, so just like one is with the male, so too the others with the male. Hakabolos, receiving the blood. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, right in the beginning, v'ikrivu b'nei Aaron, and the sons of Aaron shall bring the blood near. So that's the idea of, if you're going to bring the blood near, we'll see now. The Amar Mar, and the master said regarding that, moving on to the next page, Lamed Vav Amed Beis. Okay. It's going to fall. What is Vihikrivu? What does bringing close mean? Well, how do you bring it close? What happened? V'krivu. What is v'krivu? What does bringing close mean? Zu kabbalas adam. This means receiving the blood, because you can't bring it close till you receive it. And it says b'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron. So we see that they're the ones and not the daughters. V'hazos. What about sprinkling the blood? Has to be done by a kohen as well. Now the Gemara wants to clarify this. Hazor deheicha, what kind of sprinkling is going on over there? Because there's a lot of different sprinklings that happen. Look what it says in the notes. The blood of most of the offerings is thrown against the wall of the altar, a procedure known as zrika. That's zrika. Okay, there's two different things. Zrika is called sprinkling, when you throw it against the wall of the mizbech. But then there's another thing called hazo'a. Hazo'a is a different kind of sprinkling. It's a relatively uncommon procedure, and there are a number of different forms of it. The Gemara therefore inquires which sprinkling is meant. In the Mishnah, we explained sprinkling to refer to the sprinkling of the blood of a bird offering. This was based on Gemara's conclusion. Okay, but anyway, there's two different types of sprinkling. The common one is the zrika, where you take the blood and throw it against the wall of the altar. Then there's another kind of sprinkling called hazo'a, and they want to know which one is that. It's a different verb, different type of sprinkling. Well, one of the types of sprinkling was Idapar. What about for a Para Aduma? The Para Aduma has, it's a much less known type of avoda. And, look what it says. To purify a person from Tumas Mace, the Torah requires that he be sprinkled with water in which ashes from a red cow have been dissolved. The ashes of the cow, those whose fur must be entirely red, are prepared according to a special procedure. The cow is slaughtered on the hilltop opposite the temple, and its carcass then burned to the produce ashes. As part of this procedure, the Kohen takes some of its blood and sprinkles it with his finger 7 times towards the temple. This is the initial procedure of the making the ashes of the Para Aduma. Okay, you take some of its blood and sprinkle it with its finger 7. That's when you're making the original ashes of the Para Aduma. That red heifer, for it to have the purifying power that it has, when you shef that Para Aduma, you take some of that blood and sprinkle it. Now, how many times did they ever bring a Para Aduma? How many times did you make a Para Aduma? Well, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu did one, right? There have been 9 in the history of the Jewish people, and the 10th will come when Mashiach comes. Now, let's see now what's going on over here. So now this is called Hazza'ah. This is a unique sprinkling. When you sheft the Para Aduma, you sprinkle some of its blood 7 times towards the temple. Now, is this the sprinkling that we're saying men and not women? So Gemara says, what's going on? Well, Gemara says, if you're going to tell me, what happened? Things. Okay, e the para, if you're talking about the Para Aduma, well, listen, Elazar Kasavba, it's written in connection with Elazar, meaning to say that only a Kohen Gadol can do this. Well, I don't, you know, now, the Mishnah related things that are specifically to women. Well, it can't be referring to the sprinkling of a Para Aduma's blood, because even regular Kohanim can't do it. In other words, the Mishnah is saying, these are things that men do and women don't. Well, guess what? So men Kohanim can receive the blood. Men Kohanim can do this for the animal, but not women. But here, even men can't do this. It's only a Kohen Gadol's job. It says, the verse describing the preparation of the ashes stipulates that Elazar sprinkled the blood. Why Elazar? Elazar, son of Aaron, was a deputy Kohen Gadol at the time of the first Para Aduma. The Gemara derives that a Kohen of Elazar's station was fit only for the first Para Aduma, but to sprinkle the blood of any subsequent Para Aduma, Kohen Gadol is required. So we can't say we're excluding that, because even men can't. We're submission saying things that men can do, women can't do. Well, even men can't do it, because only a Kohen Gadol can do that, and it's, you know, no women Kohen Gadols. So that type of sprinkling, we're not referring to that. Okay, what other type of unique sprinklings do we have? Edipfnim, if it's a special sprinkling that's done inside the holies of holies, this was the special avoda that the Kohen Gadol did. Let's take a look. The blood of the Chatas offering brought by a Kohen Gadol for his sin. What if a Kohen Gadol sins? He has a unique avoda, and part of that is sprinkling blood. Also, if the Sanhedrin and the whole people make a mistake in a law, there's a special sprinkling that's done on the curtain between the regular part of the Mishkan and the Holiest of Holies. But that can only be done by a Kohen Gadol as well. So what I was going to say, if it's that kind of sprinkling, it says a Kohen HaMashiach Kasapo, the Kohen that's anointed, meaning to say that's a special coin and not any regular coin. So again, that wouldn't be something we would be excluding women from. So what are we speaking about? Elahazo, we're talking about the sprinkling, the ben oaf of a bird offering. What is that? Specifically the bird offering brought for a sin. Person's poor, can't afford a big animal. Torah states concerning the bird chatas, and he shall sprinkle from the blood of the chatas offering. Okay, now it's interesting, although this verse uses the masculine form of the verb, he shall sprinkle, this is not necessarily exclude women, since Hebrew uses the masculine form for neutral as well. So we want to know how many women are excluded from the sprinkling of the blood of a bird chatas. And he's saying, that's the one it is, that's the one we're excluding women. So how do we know that they're talking excluded? It doesn't say anything about B'nai Aaron, the sons of Aaron, or something like that. So this is the conclusion. We're excluding women from the sprinkling of the blood offering, why? The Asya Mikal V'chaymer Ben Tzom. We learn it as an a fortior argument from the fact that they cannot bring from a sheep offering. Uma Ben Tzom. And now you see from a sheep offering. Shlo Kavalo Koin Lishchitaso. Interesting now. A sheep offering does not have to be slaughtered by a Kohen. Interesting. Look at the notes. Even a non-Kohen may slaughter an animal offering. How do we know? It says, V'shachat es ben ha-bakor lifnei Hashem. He shall slaughter the bull before Hashem. V'krivu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen ha-Sodom. And the Kohanim, Aaron ha-Kohanim, shall bring the blood. Now, where do we say it has to be done by a Kohanim? To bring the blood. Right? Receive the blood. The verse implies that the use of a coin is required only from the reception of the blood onwards. In other words, technically, in the base of Migdash, a non-coin can shecht to the animal. Because it only gets the coin involved from the receiving of the blood. So you see, when we're slaughtering sheep, that it does not have to be done by a coin. Yet, even though a non-coin can shecht the animal, Kavalo Kain Lahazoso. Still, the coin has to sprinkle its blood. When you throw the blood, that's the regular streak on the wall of the Mizbeach, the Kohen has to do that.
Doesn't he have to receive the blood?
He receives it also, and also sprinkles it. But we're worried about sprinkling over here. Our issue is sprinkling. He receives it, and he sprinkles it. But you see, what do you see? A Kohen doesn't have to shecht a regular sheep for an offering, but he must be doing the sprinkling. Now, Ben Oph, but now a bird offering, where the Torah specifically says, who shechts a bird? That's Malika. Who does Malika with the fingernail? Only a Kohen. Shekavel a Kohen l'malikaso, where a Kohen is the only one who kills the animal. So Eina Din, shouldn't it be the law? Shekavel Chikvel Olahazo. It would follow that the Kohen would have to sprinkle the blood. Right? Let's look at the Kavah Chomer. Buy a regular sheep, a regular Jew can shecht it, but only a Kohen can sprinkle it. A bird that only a Kohen can shecht it, certainly only a Kohen can sprinkle it. Now what do you know about Malika? Who does Malika? We're already taught that only a male Kohen can do Malika. So if a male Kohen can only do Malika, so obviously a male Kohen can only do the sprinkling of blood, and that's the sprinkling of blood we're talking about. Okay. So basically, and there's a number of other ones we don't have to mention because it's all included in the B'nai Aaron. So therefore, we've shown the sources for all the things that women are excluded from. But then we said there's two mincha offerings that a woman does bring. The mincha for the sota woman, and the woman who's a nazira, she does do the waving. The waving, we'll see. So now how do we know that the women are included? That's the next step. Mincha sota unazira. The mincha offerings of a sota and a zira, that they do the waving. Other things we said they don't wave. Regular minchas, they don't wave. They've been excluded from that. But the mincha sota and the zira, she does wave. Amalei Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshaya didare. So Rabbi Lazar said to Rabbi Yeshaya of his generation. That's interesting. Why do we have to mention Rabbi Yeshua? What of a different generation? Let's see the notes. Gemara states Rabbi Yeshaya of his generation to differentiate between the Rabbi Yeshaya of the discussion and the more famous Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshaya who was still alive at this time. Okay, anyway, it was not to confuse him with another Rabbi Yeshaya. Okay, there's another Rabbi Yeshaya, but that one. So he said to him the following. He says, it's just an opening statement. Lo teisev akarach, don't sit down. At the Marti Lashmaita, until you explain this matter to me. Okay, what does he want to know? He says, well, listen, Rabbi. Minayin l'mincha saita shtunetz nufa. From where do we know that the mincha v'sota requires waving? How do you know to wave the mincha v'sota? How do you know you have to wave? So he says, what are you talking about? You're asking me a question that's right in the Chumash? Since when do you ask me those kinds of questions? Minolan? From where do you know this? What are you talking about? It says it right in the pasuk. Because open up a chumash, man. It says, Veheini fes ha-mincha. And he shall wave the mincha offering. So obviously that wasn't the question. Rav Lazar wasn't asked a question from an amora, someone's an open pasuk. But rather, what he meant to say, he just briefly said the question, says, I want to know, what I meant, Rav Lazar's question was, Tnufa beba'alim minolim. Where do we know that the mincha offering of a soter requires the owner to wave it? In other words, how do we know that the woman does the waving? That's the point, and that's what our Mishnah says. The woman sota waves it. So how do we know that the woman sota waves it? It just says that it's waved. How do we know?
Who else did it?
Kohen. Right? It says, right? Well, let's look in the verse. Let's look in the verse. Bamidbor, hey, chafe. Bamidbor, hey, chafe. This is all the story with the Sotah. Now we finally bring the base of Migdash. Now look, chafe. V'lokach ha-koin miyada isha es minchas ha-kna'os. The Kohen takes from the woman the mincha of jealousy. Now look at the words. V'heinif es ha-mincha. Now what, how would you simply translate? And he waves the mincha before Hashem. V'krivo sal mizbech. And then he brings her and offers it to the mizbech. Doesn't see anything about the woman, does it? No. So now how do we know that, the owner, the woman, is involved in the waving? Now that I don't see in the Torah. But the Mishnah says women are not excluded. That the woman for the sota does bring and she waves. Where do you see that? Alright, that's the problem. Okay? The Mishnah says so, so how do we know this? So he answers, we'll make a gzereshava asya yad yad mishlamim. We'll make a gzereshava where it says the word yad, hand, by this mincha of the sota. It says yad also by shlomim. Again, let's make a close look. What does it say? In pasuk chafei, v'lokach ha-kohen miyad ha-isha. The Kohen takes the mincha from the hand of the woman. Now that is kind of obvious because it already says the woman brought it much earlier. Doesn't it say that? One second. Look in Pasuk 15. It says, then shall the man bring his wife to the priest and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of it. So you already know she has an offering. She's bringing a mincha. Right? It's clear. The woman has a mincha that she has with her. So now when we move back to Pasuk Chafei, it should say, v'lokach ha-kohen, the Kohen should take the mincha. Why did it say from the hand of the woman? I mean, who else is he taking it from? We already said 10% ago, she has this mincha offering. What's from the hand of the woman?
Oh, so she was holding.
Well, we'll see. But it's kind of, from the hand, of course. Or say, v'lokach ha-kohen meha isha. Take it from the woman. What did it say from the hand of the woman? What else did it say? From the nose of the woman? Right. So you got the word yad, which is, a little bit extra. Right? Something. It's there for something. So that's the word miyad. Well, now we're going to look somewhere else where it says miyad. Somewhere else where we say, but what is he doing? He's taking it from the hand of the person who owns the korban. The woman, it's the woman's mincha. He's taking it from the hand of the woman. So let's just see what we're going to do with this now. So now the Gemara says, now let's look by shlomim. Let's look in another place. Asiyad Mishlam. Ksiv, what was said over here, v'lokach ha-kohen miyad ha-isha. The Kohen takes it from the hands of the woman. Now look over here. Look after he brings the whole verse that I already quoted. The verse itself could be explained to refer to the Kohen alone. Yet the law is to know from the Mishnah, the woman also participates in the waving is within the Mishnah. Rabbi Lusser inquired for the scriptural source for her participation. So it says from the hand by over here, uksiv asam, it says by the korban shlamim, it says yadov tivi eno. It says with his own hands, shall he bring the offerings in order to wave them? And over there, it means the owner's hands. Okay? It said, let's look over there. Vayikra Zion Lamed. Okay, here we're talking about a shlamim now. Okay. Speak to the Jewish people. Whoever's bringing a shlamim, Yavi is carbon, Allah Hashem brings carbon. Now look what it says. Yadav tivieno, his own hands shall bring es ishe Hashem. Okay, his own hands. Now whose hands? says, speak to the Jewish people. He who offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. Yadav to Vienna. His hands shall bring the offerings. And what does he do? By the fire. The fat with the breast, it shall be brought, that the breast may be wave for wave offering before the Lord. Now, whose hands? But his waving. So am I waving over here? So am I waving? His hands shall bring it. So now let's see what the Gemara says. Why is it doing that? Bring me back to square one. Hello. I'm not supposed to do that. Okay. Yadav, right? Yadav, his hands shall bring the offering. It means the owner. It says someone who brings the shlamim, his hands shall bring it. So there, Yadav means his hands will wave it. Okay. Yadav to Vienna. So, ma kan kohen, aflahalam kohen. Wait a minute. Just as there in the case of the sota's offering, a kohen waves it, so to her in the case of shlomim offering, a kohen waves it. Well, let's think about it. By the verse by the sota, it says the kohen takes it from her and he waves it. He waves it. Over here it says the guy who brings the thing, the owner waves it. So let's see what's going on. Here's the thing. It obviously says Yadav here, it says Yadav there. It says hands both cases. Well, by the woman, the kohen waves it, so we'll say the same thing when the guy brings his shlamim. Hang on. But Mala... Look, see, what's going on? What's going on over here? Why is it going backwards? Ma kan kohen af lahalan kohen. Mala halan, but over there, by the shlamim, it says balim, the owner does it. So afkan balim. So over here, the owner should do it. In other words, we got a conflict. We got two verses. They both use the word yadav. When it talks about the woman bringing the sota offering, it says the kohen takes it from his hand and he waves it. But it says the word yadav. So just like where the kohen waves it by her, he waves it by the guy bringing shlamim, because that's the gzeira shava. On the other hand, by the pasuk, by the man bringing a shlamim, it says the owner waves it. So just like the owner waves it there, the owner by the sota, she should wave it too. So it's kind of conflicting aspects of the gzeira shava. Let's look over here. The Torah does not state explicitly in the shlamim passage that the kohen participates in the waving. It doesn't. It says the guy who brings it, he waves it. The verse speaks only of the owner's participation. Conversely, the Torah does not state in the sota passage that the owner, meaning the sota, participates in the tenufa. The sota passage speaks only for the kohen performing tenufa. In other words, when you look at the sota words, the pasuk only says the kohen waves it. When you look at the guy with the shlamim, it says that the owner of the shlamim waves it. But there's a gzeira shava. We have yadav yadav. We compare the two. How are we comparing them? Gzeira shava establishes that a participant mentioned explicitly in each passage also participates in the tenufa mentioned in the other passage. You see what's going on over here? You have, by the woman sota, the pasuk says the kohen waves it. By the man bringing a shlamim, the man waves it. But we have a gzeira shava, it says yadav and yadav. That means to teach us that we have to compare them. So how are we going to compare? We're going to say, well, just like over here where the kohen waves by the woman, the kohen waves also by the shlamim. When it says by shlamim that the owner waves it, so too by the sota waving. Well, how do you do all that? What's going on? More answers easily. Okay, so how is this done? So this is how it's done. Kohen machnes yodav tachas yad balim. The kohen takes his hand under the hands of the owner, umeiniv, and they wave. You see? So that's how we learn it. Even though by the woman sota, it seems that the kohen waves it, but by the shlamim, it says that the owner waves it. And we have Xavier Shavit to apply both have what the other one has. So both the kohen and the owner wave it. So now we know why a sota waves it as well. Bar says, that's wonderful. Ashkan sota, you found by a sota how she waves it. But Nazira Minom, but how about the female Nazira? How do we know that? Well, we have another Xavier Shavit. Asya kaf kaf misota. It says kaf, palm, by both of them. It says, look at the pasuk. It says by a sota, it says, v'nosan al kapeha. The Kohen places the offering on her palms. It also says by a nazir, v'nosan al kapeha nazir. You put the offering on the palm of the nazir. So whatever applies to one applies to the other. So if by a woman nazira, what's placed on her palms is something that she waves together with the Kohen, so what is placed on the palms of a nazira also waves together with him as well, and that's how we learn it. And guess what? Oops, wrong one. We've gotten to the Mishnah. Perfect timing. So that's the sources for all these things. Next, Mishnah talks about the differences between mitzvahs that depend on the land of Israel and mitzvahs that do not depend on the land of Israel. That's the next category of mitzvahs.